Okay, so we're back here. I am Petey Pete, and right now we have Kurt Andernach, founder of and Hoff Animals. And okay, there we go. Kurt, are you on?
Yes, I'm on.
Kurt, it's so nice to have you on the show. It's so nice to have you on WGXC. We have you on here because you're the founder of and Hoff Animals, an animal sanctuary. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that, a little history, and you know, what it means to you. If you could do that for us, that would be appreciated.
Sure. First of all, I wanted to make clear we're actually a sanctuary for farm animals. So we, you know, we rescue abandoned or abused farm animals. We don't rescue cats and dogs or any other pets. So we rescue these animals. They come from all kinds of situations. Some of them are from slaughterhouses. Others were just abandoned, or others were also injured or had birth defects or whatever. And then they come here. Often people contact us directly and say, you know, hey, I have this animal here, or they find them. And but we also get involved in sort of larger rescue operations. There are particular religious rituals where we have intervened because there is an incredible animal abuse going on. I mean, often people have sort of this romantic version of animal sanctuary, and then, you know, all of these happy animals, grazing on the pastures. But reality is that almost always these animals come either badly injured. A lot of them also have emotional damages, wounds, and then it is our job to take care of these animals, meaning they need physical attention, or we also need to take sort of care of their mental problems, and that can be that they need to be isolated from other animals. Some of them also need to be isolated from humans because they might be aggressive. But then, you know, our job is to help these animals to recover, you know, physically as well as mentally. With some animals, that can be a very, very, very lengthy process. Just to give you an example, we are very good. We're very good at rehabilitating roosters here. I mean, it's common knowledge that roosters, you shouldn't have more than one or two roosters, because otherwise you have fights going on. We actually have I believe now over 50 roosters.
Wow.
So we don't have any cockfights going on here.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because we were even able to rehabilitate roosters that were used for cockfights.
Right.
So that is one example of how we are actually able, through a lot of treatment, through a lot of attention, to help these animals to have a better life.
Right.
So, and also, some of our animals, they can only be helped up to a certain point. I mean, we have two animals here right now. that have severe leg and you know, and spine problems, and they are you know, walking around in a in a wheelchair. So, but you know, enjoy happy life, and you know, are you know, with the herds, and enjoy a happy life. So, but so you know, and of course, also animals on the farm get sick. I mean, healthy animals, and so a lot of it is a lot of work. I mean, the you know. Main work here is to take care of you know, wounded animals.
Now,
so,
I wanted to stop you for a second. Now, we are talking about Hoff Animal Family, Hoff Animals Sanctuary. And it must be very difficult. It must be very complicated because you do have to juggle medical. You do have to juggle the diet, the type of food that you're feeding. And like you said, the emotional rescue, because I'm sure in so many ways, the type of animals that you get and whatever circumstances they had to go through to deal with that. What type of training, or how did you get into this as far as knowing what to do and how to deal with the assorted animals that you get?
My personal story is that for you know, ever since I was able to walk practically, I was always surrounded by animals, and also mostly farm animals. I have a lot of knowledge of you know, how to work with animals. Or as a friend of mine always said, I can listen to the animal, you know, I can listen to the animal and I can understand what the animal needs and not just what, you know.
No, I totally understand what you're saying with it. Yeah the communication.
And then of course, you know, once you kind of really then dive into it, I mean, you know, where you not just hang out with animals, but where you really treat them and take care of them, you learn a tremendous amount. I have fantastic vets, and I should also probably mention that Anthof philosophy is that we, for the most part, not exclusively, but for the most part, that we treat our animals with homeopathy.
Okay.
We had incredible success with homeopathy. I mean, actually, situations where conventional medicine was not able to help us, or where you know, it was just not as successful as homeopathy. You know, I want to stress that we also use conventional medicine in some extreme cases. So. But basically, you know, our philosophy is to treat the animals with homeopathy. So, and I also, now have two animal caregivers who also have a lot of experience from working at other sanctuaries in the area. And so together we're really a fantastic team, and you know, help each other. I mean, you know, when we deal with a sick animal, we sort of, you know, discuss then together how it could be treated best, and also you know. Yeah, we have different experiences, and therefore, you know, just as a group, we are very educated then, you know, because we come, we also look at it from different perspectives.
Now, so, if you could describe the Anthof Animals, where that's located, what type of area it is, I mean, how much area do you have in with you, and you know, what are some of the living arrangements for the pets or the animals?
That's actually very important, because First of all, Antelope Sanctuary is it's outside Catskill, to be more precise, between Leeds and Earlton. But the sanctuary itself is actually deep in the woods. I mean, until you get to the sanctuary, it's the road is 1 mile long, and calling it a road is basically a joke because it's more like a goat trail.
Right.
But anyway, we are we're deep in the woods, and our philosophy is to give the animals as much freedom and as much autonomy as possible. I mean, of course, especially in the woods, we need to be prepared for predators. So we need to have a lot of security.
What do you mean by predators? What type of predators are you referring to? People or other animals or both?
No, coyotes, foxes, raccoons, fisher cats. These are all, especially for our birds, these are very dangerous predators. But I must say, of our setup here and everything, we barely ever have an incident where an animal gets killed, but I don't believe sort of in compartmentalizing the animals. Like, here you have the goats, here you have the chickens, and here you have the pigs and sheep. Growing up on a farm, our animals were always together. I mean, as long as it's safe,
right.
They're all sort of living together, and also during the day, basically all of our pastures are open, again, as far as it's safe, as long as it's safe, and then all of the animals intermingle, and also some of them then sort of come walking into the house and hang out with us here in the house.
Really? So, that's kind of neat.
I
have something else. And Hoff Animal Sanctuary for farm animals, do you encourage people to come out there? And are you trying to get these animals to homes of other people that possibly, after you've rehabilitated them in the order that you do, that you encourage people to try to get these farm animals? Or how? I guess I want to know the process with that. Is there an end process to it?
I certainly wouldn't encourage it. If people would come and said, hey, we're looking for such and such, we would have to thoroughly vet them to make sure that the animals would be in very good, would have a very good and safe place to live. We have done it on a very few occasions, we are certainly not advertising this.
Right.
What we have done is that people have come to us and had animals that had problems, and then we helped them basically then to rehabilitate these animals. When you dedicate every fiber of your life to these animals and getting them healthy again and just hang out with them, it's very, very hard to let them go.
I could totally imagine that.
There were situations where the situation was right and the people were right, and also the living conditions were right, and then we agreed to adopt them out. So, but when we do that, we also then do frequent checks on the new owners.
Right.
So, Yeah.
Now, you had described about that you'd grown up with animals and you had been, you know, involved with animals all your life. What brought you here to this area and to specifically start an Hoff Animal Sanctuary for farm animals? What, how did you pick this area? And I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again and again and again. What you're doing is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a great thing for the community. It's a great thing for the animals. And I really, truly think you're an amazing person to dedicate your life and your time to this.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. But what made you pick this area and did you see a need for here or did it just happenstance that you ended up here and this is what you wanted to do?
Happenstance. Okay. Actually, I just want to talk about it very briefly, but the way I, ended up in this area here was that, I was for a very short while, I was in New York City, and while there, I just mentioned to a friend of mine, that I had always dreamed of just, having a little cabin with a few trees around me. And the next weekend, then we were on our way to a friend of hers that lived in Cornwallville and had two houses on their property. And, without even thinking about it, then actually, I rented this house, Yep. And in the beginning, I was a weekender, but just then so fell in love with this area here. And I'm originally from Germany and been sort of, been all over the world. And for the first time in, 20 years, I felt sort of I have arrived. I'm home.
Right.
And then I was very lucky, to buy this property, where I'm currently on, which is, 60 acres. I never thought about starting a sanctuary. It's actually, started with me making a casual comment to a guy who ran a coffee shop in Catskill on Main Street. And I was it's always been my dream to wake up, to the crow of a rooster. And he said, hey, my friend is in a very desperate situation because she has a rooster she just loves, but the neighbors want to kill it, and they want to put rat poison out and whatnot, so that he's gone. So anyway, then the next day my dream became true, and Henry, and then his favorite hen Henrietta.
That's awesome.
And then, I don't know how much later, but we talked animals again. And I said, since I'm a 5-year-old boy, I always wanted a donkey. But I only got as far, as having a goat for a short while. And he said, yeah, and goats are just so easy. And I said, well, I don't know. And I would love to have goats, but, just to get the setup right and blah, blah, blah. So, and he said, no, it's super easy. So, all right, long story short, 3 weeks later, there were three goats here. Since the cradle of the sanctuary, stood in a public place in Catskill, of course, word got out. And then, more chickens, ducks, and, I had to enlarge the area. The fenced-in area. But really, so up to this point, basically, it was Kurt's hobby, if you will,
Right.
By chance, in the very late 2013, I was kind of just, browsing through sort of the Facebook news feed, and I came across the page from Save the Staten Island Wild Turkeys. Mm-hmm. And, of course, save animals,
Yep.
I was, I perked up, and... So then I read the story, and basically what happened on Staten Island was that somebody, at least that's the story, somebody had been breeding wild turkeys in their backyard, and then either got too many or they got bored or whatever. But this person then released them, and since there are no predators on Staten Island, I mean, you know, other than cars and, you know, maybe a stroller and a motorcycle, these turkey populations, I mean, just exploded, you know, and they were all over residential areas and also on the grounds of a hospital there. So, and we're not talking 5 or 10. I mean, we're talking hundreds,
right?
You know. You know, people were complaining and whatnot. And then first the DEC actually started killing them. And, of course, then that prompted, you know, these people then to set up this organization, set up Save Staten Island Turkeys. And, you know, naive as I am, I just, you know, commented on that page. And I said, hey, guys, you know, got plenty of land here, and I'm surrounded by even more land. So just, you know, bring them up here.
Right.
So, and then they contacted me and said, well, it's not that easy because apparently some of these turkeys had interbred with domestic turkeys, so they're not 100% purebred. And plus, you know, they basically were raised in a residential area, and would be too difficult to rehabilitate them. So,
right.
And I was kind of, well, you know, sorry, but I cannot, can't accept that. And then I was put in touch with the president of the New York chapter of the Humane Society. We sort of negotiated with the DEC, for a long time, for, you know, altogether it took almost a year. But then eventually, you know, under very, very strict guidelines, they agreed that we would transfer the turkeys to my sanctuary.
Right.
And it cost a tremendous amount of money. I never thought of that when I, you know, sent my first comment on Facebook.
Right.
Because we had to do logging, we had to grade the area, we had to, you know, run fences. I mean, by now we have fenced in about 4 acres of land.
Okay.
So, and then the first 100 Staten Island turkeys arrived. Since then, another 70 turkeys have arrived, and there are more. There are more on its way. So, and I guess that's really. I mean, you know. So, and that was basically then the point where this became a sanctuary. You know, where also we had more visibility, and so people, more and more people were sort of asking us to take on animals, really, no is not a word in my vocabulary. So I got involved with other activist groups, and, you know, as I mentioned, with the religious rituals were. We are rescuing chickens from every year. So,
right. Well,
last year I took on 230 chickens. So,
well, there's so many different levels with this too, because dealing with farm animals, but we also have the household animals that people do not get spayed or neutered, or they get a dog and they decide that it's cute when it's a puppy. And then, I mean, and even people, I've read and seen stories of exotic animals, that can be such a problem where people get exotic animals. But specifically with the farm animals, I think it's a beautiful thing. It's great to hear the different type of animals that you've brought into your home. But we had talked earlier about the what's going to be happening with the state as far as politically. If you want to touch base on that a little bit and why, and we will segue into the fundraiser that is going on that we will talk about. But what is the need of money and what is going to be taken away from you? And if you could maybe go into a little detail about that.
Yeah, I just exactly because like in the situation where we took on 230 chickens, and then it actually turned out that they had horrific upper respiratory problems, and so there you have 230 chickens, mortally ill, and the vet bills are just staggering, plus the additional staff you need then to help these birds, So running a sanctuary costs a lot of money.
I bet.
And up to a certain point, I was able to fund the sanctuary out of pocket. I was trained and worked as an architect, and every penny I own goes to the animals. We are now at a point where we actually we depend on public contributions. I mean, if it's $5, $500, or $500,000, any amount is appreciated. I know that these are not easy times, but even if you can give $5, we greatly appreciate it, and the animals greatly appreciate it. And this coming Friday, on December 15th, we are having a fundraiser in Catskill. Very graciously, two friends of mine donated their event space, Joe's Garage at 443 Main Street in Catskill. And we will
Is
have...
It four, 433 Main Street, isn't it?
I thought... 443. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah,
433.
And so we have a fundraiser there, and we also will bring some of our animals there.
Oh, nice.
So, we're going to have some food. We're also going to have some drinks, and we also going to have a raffle. Quite a few local artists as well as vendors have donated to our raffle. So, and we're going to be raffling off some pretty neat stuff. So, and this fundraiser is very important because, legislation just has been passed to change the tax code. It has a very, very negative effect on any non-for-profit organization in terms of that. Donations to a non-for-profit organization are tax deductible. It would be listed under itemized deductions. So itemized deductions will no longer exist on the tax returns. There's just basically just a fixed amount for deductions.
Okay.
In other words, people will, there is not much motivation anymore to donate to non-for-profits, So we are very scared, and we are anticipating that, our donations will go down. Yet, we can't just say, okay, well, then let's shrink the sanctuary. I mean, what are we going to do? We have the animals here, and the animals need to be taken care of. And of course, there are more animals out there, So money is a big concern, and that's also why this fundraiser is so important for us. We need to raise as much money as possible because, we want to continue our work. And but we need public support for that, you know. And but we also want to give back to the community. So if the community, you know, wants to also see where their money is spent and wants to meet the animals, you know, they can always contact us. We don't really sort of have set opening hours because, you know, we live on the farm. So basically we're open, you know, 24/7.
Okay. So. Well, with that being said, if you could give us the contact information that people can contact you at.
Sure. Our website is www.antofanimals.org, and I will spell that for you. It is ANB-HOF- and then animals with an S .org.
Okay.
They can also call us at 518-943-4343. And again, that is 518-943-4343. So.
Well, Kurt, thank you so much. You are an amazing human being. You are doing such a great thing for the community. And once again, we want to reiterate that you will be doing an Enhoff Animal Sanctuary Farm Animals holiday party fundraiser this Friday. Or is it this? Yeah, it's this Friday.
Yep.
At Joe's Garage on Main Street, on the top of Main Street. And that starts at what time?
It's from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And that's a great venue up at Joe's Garage, too. It's a block away from where
yeah.
I live, and I've frequented that place. It's a nice place to be. So once again, thank you. I'd like to have you on here again to talk about this. I think this is an amazing thing that you're doing. It's so important that that we as humans are connected with the animals in this world, because we are all in this together. And I'm very pleased that you recognize that. Not everybody does, but you're doing a great thing. And thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you very much, Pete. And also thank you for, you know, giving us the opportunity to be on the air.
Okay. Well, you have a good day, and I will talk to you soon, okay?
Talk to you soon. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much.
And I hope to see you on Friday.
Okay. We'll be there.
Yeah. Okie doke.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.